Well, hey everybody, it's Donna Bartow, and I'm welcoming you to this very special breakthrough session. It's not a teaching session. It's a time for prayer and healing and deliverance. I did want to mention, I was reading through the submissions, and some of them were actually from prior semester and that had not been deleted, and then from this semester as well. And I noticed a couple of things, and so I want to hit upon those, and then open in prayer, take your live requests, and I also have your submitted request. So it'll be kind of a hybrid. Actually, I just talked myself into praying first. So Father, we need you. We need you. We say send the Spirit now for Jesus' sake. Would you send an anointing of healing and breakthrough? That's specifically what the purpose is here. That bondages would be broken off of your people. That keys would be released. That we would put the key in the lock and just release some people. And so we ask you to come in power. For the sake of your kingdom. Amen. I notice a pattern. We have a part and God has a part. There's God's part and there's our part. And we cannot, now I don't like this either. We cannot do God's part. We can't. And this is, some of us have figured that out. It takes a while. But here's the other part of that. God won't do our part. He could. I wish he would. But he won't. I mean, typically God won't come down and turn off your television set. Sometimes he will. I mean, if you're fasting and praying and really crying out in sincerity, maybe he'll just let electricity strike your house and ruin your television and you can't afford a new one. I mean, I suppose he could do that. But typically he won't. And nothing changes. John Donne, in what, it was at the 17th century or the 16th century, basically said the same thing. He's like, I wish God would just force me. Would he just force himself upon me? It would make my life so much easier if God would force himself upon me. That's basically what he said. So it's nothing new. But alas, alas and alack, God has given us this wonderful, terrible gift called freedom. And we get to choose, but we're not free. So we're free to do that, but we're not free from the consequences of our choices. And I saw a clear distinction in the posts that were put up, you know, if you filled out that form, between areas that are clearly God's part, and we need to fast and pray and believe for breakthrough and believe for God to move. But I think a lot more of what I saw was actually our part. And we're kind of saying, God, could you force me to do my part? Really saw that clearly. And it might be really helpful for you to take out a pen and paper and even do it now. And I know I'm not supposed to teach. Oh, Donna. I'm slapping my wrist. This is the second session in a row where I felt compelled to slap my own wrist. Donna, you are not supposed to be teaching. You are supposed to be praying, but I just cannot stop myself. It would not hurt you. Indeed, it would behoove you to take a piece of paper, even as I speak, and draw a line down the middle and put two columns, God's part, which only he can do, and my part, which he requires me to do. I was very interested to see, and you guys know I'm always right in there with you, right? I'm right in there with you. If you're in the renewal class, you know my big battle right now. I don't have TV. I haven't had TV in 30 years. But now, like, kind of television sort of comes to your laptop. And I love to follow current events and the news and what's going on, especially, like, in the political arena and world events and all that stuff. So I get it. But I was really kind of taken aback how many people said, I need God to help me turn off the television. For real. And actually, I'm kind of praying the same thing. So I'm right there with you. And many of us have gained an understanding that we are running there to television, or we're running to food, or we're running to these other places to comfort and to cope and to escape from real pain, real trauma, or just things that we don't want to face in our life. And so we need wisdom and revelation to discern, and I guess that's what I'm going to pray for, wisdom and revelation to discern how much is this just some choices, some new choices, strengthening our willpower and just deciding to live differently. And then what is actually an area where we need, it's a spiritual stronghold and we need deliverance. And probably it's a combination. It's not an either or proposition. There's probably a combo platter in all of our lives. But I think it would be helpful to make that list. God's part, what I can't do, like I can't change other people, I can't fix other people, I can't make other people like me, I can't make them love me. There's a lot of things I can't do that only God can do. And those were probably small things. I mean, you know, I can't put the stars in the sky. I can't send rain upon the wicked and the just. Yeah, I mean, he's God. There's lots of stuff he can do that we can't do. But it doesn't seem to prevent us from trying. But then there's that list of things that we really need to do. And God's not going to do them for us. Holy Spirit will, you know, if we invite him into our lives, he'll prompt us, encourage us, convict us, lead us, guide us. But at some point, we're the ones who have to turn off the snooze button. We're the one who has to, you know, sell the television, get rid of the rocking chair, back away from the laptop. We have to do that. We have to decide that. And some of you are like, Donna, I've decided that so many times, my decider is broke. Because there's a spiritual stronghold there. So I get it. I'm right there with you. Okay, we're all in this together. So let's pray. So Father God, we acknowledge that in our frail humanity, we just seem to keep getting it backwards. We keep looking over your shoulder, trying to find out what you're doing and seeing if we can get you to move a little faster and change this person, change that circumstance. And if only you would get with a program and change some people and change some circumstances, then things would be great. And then we would do what we're supposed to do. And I feel like Holy Spirit's looking down and saying, get your eyes on your own test paper. And focus on those things that you need to take responsibility for. And what are some areas where you need to say, Jesus, take the wheel? And what are some areas where Jesus is saying, you know, girl, you need to take the wheel and get it together? We need you, Holy Spirit. We need you because we can't figure it out on our own. Our figure it out, the side of our brain that figures everything out is just like on tilt, 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 tilt. Anybody else trying to figure everything out? And maybe just time in his presence, saying, okay, Lord, show me. You know my ways, show me my ways. Where are those areas? What are those things that I just need to let go of? Because they're your job and you've got it. And what are those areas where I need to step up and take responsibility? And maybe take some drastic action in some cases. And we trust you that you're even going to do that. Even now, I know Holy Spirit's already speaking right now about what we need to do. And I believe he's going to minister in a personal, powerful way. Amen. Want to mention to you this resource, and you can go to donnapartow.com/protection. donnapartow.com/protection. And it'll bring you to this little page, and you just click this button, send me the prayer, and I will send you the prayer of protection. I would imagine that most of you heard me talk about this, and I don't want to get into a big, long, drawn-out thing about it, but my daughters were on the front line of Hurricane Matthew, and I'm on another continent. So that's something only God can do, right? I can't protect my children. I can't redirect the hurricane. But I can pray, and I have been praying a prayer of protection over my children. Is it a magic bullet? No. Is it a formula? No, it's a guideline. You can improvise and change up the words, but use it as a structure and a jumping off point. And I found it really powerful. I've prayed a prayer of protection for about a decade now. And Hurricane Matthew barreling down, the internet was filled with videos that were taken about four blocks from where we lived. And it was just totally flooded. My girls got back to the house a block from the beach, one block from the beach, four blocks from where the worst of it hit, and everything was absolutely fine. And they walked down to the beach, to the south, destruction, to the north, destruction, our little stretch of beach. No problem at all, other than being strewn with starfish. So I believe in prayer, and that's our part. Our part is to be diligent in prayer. Our part is to be filling those bowls of intercession in heaven, storing up treasure in heaven, and then when we need it, place a demand on the storehouse. Because those treasures we've stored up in heaven, when we get to heaven, we're not going to need any treasures, right? We need them now. We're storing them up for when we need them now, here on earth, so that it may be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? That's the idea. So you click this little button, send me the prayer, you fill out your little name and address, click, this is my third try, I was testing, click the button, and then that email is on the way to you. Here comes your ebook, and then you're going to be redirected to this page. There's a video. And it tells you a little bit about the curse-breaking Claire. It's kind of prayer, little kind of a mini class. And it basically includes a video, an hour-long video, in which I pray the prayer and I do a teaching on the 10 signs you might be under a curse, find out what the 7 types of curses are, learn the number one cause of most of the problems you're facing, and actually it's not a curse, and then listen as I pray, and then you can listen to it over and over again, and it shares, it's just $7. But I think that really might be helpful for a lot of you. So you just go to donnapartow.com/protection, and it will kind of redirect you there. And this is the page where you would actually order it. So that's all I really wanted to share with you, and I'm actually going to need to now turn off the view screen, because I want to go in and pray over you. And I don't want anyone to sort of see that. Okay. And we have someone asking, and I'm just going to pray through these. In fact, you know what I'm going to do? I just talked myself into doing this differently. I want to see if anyone live has any prayer requests, and then I'm going to go do those. Does anyone here with me live have anything? You can raise your hand. Or you can type it in the chat. You can either raise your hand or type it in the chat. And if nobody has anything, then I'll just go over to the completed forms. But I felt like somebody had something. Yeah, somebody raised their hand. So let me go over there. I feel like I want to do that first. Yep, couple people. Okay. Carolyn, you're up.
Yes, Donna, can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Okay, good. I have not been as active in this class as I have in previous am just feeling so overwhelmed with my life and yet not making progress with, I just don't feel like I'm making progress. And it's led me to think wrongly, I might add, that perhaps the vision and the dreams that God had given me years ago were just me wishful thinking. And I guess I'm feeling like I just need some encouragement. I don't know what I need, but I'm just in a bad way.
Well, you are making progress. Because every day that you wake up and show up, God says, you show up and I'll show off. So our job is to show up and His job is to show off. So what is the vision?
My big dream is I felt like the Lord showed me years ago that I would be a teacher of the word and that I would travel globally and that especially women in leadership. And while I've had glimmers of that, each time I feel like I'm making progress to that and growing in that calling, the door shuts. And so that's where I am now. I go to church regularly, but our church even has closed doors on women's ministry, it seems like. And I just feel kind of lost and not having a real direct purpose.
So what do you do on a daily basis to be prepared to teach? What does that look like on a day-to-day basis?
I spend time in the Word, and I try to not just read, but really dig deep in the Word.
Okay.
I keep my relationship with the Lord current and just spending time with Him, soaking in His presence.
Okay. So you're on that on a daily basis. You're doing that on a daily basis.
Yes.
You're diligent and you're faithful with that.
Okay.
So you're diligent and you're faithful and you're doing your part. Okay. So that's really all you can do. And I don't need to tell you this because you're a student of the Word. But this is the way it goes. You get the vision and then about 40 years later, after you've been living in the desert, or after you've been in a prison, after you've been in a pit, and it's always way longer than we think it's going to be. I can tell you for me, I shared it in the Vessel class, which would be a great one if you're not in that class. It's going to go on sale, everybody. It's going to go on a huge sale for Black Friday. Get that class. I talk about, you know, it was 17 years before I did my first women's speaking engagement, first retreat. It was 17 years. And what was I doing during those 17 years? Teaching 2 and 3 year olds, vacation Bible schools, teaching 4 and 5 year olds, Sunday school, teaching. This is the truth. Sometimes one kid, sometimes maybe 2 or 3. In the boiler room of a Grange Hall. A lot of weeks there was one kid there, teenager. But I showed up at that Grange Hall for the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and sat in the boiler room, not exaggerating, the boiler room with one kid, maybe on a good week 3, and taught them. And I just think that's the way it is. And I think, you know, once in a while there's someone who catapults to the, you know, position of influence. And sometimes God does that. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes Satan does it. Sometimes Satan does it. Sometimes Satan sees someone with a call of God on their life and they're not ready. And he's like, awesome. This is great. And then he will thrust them into a position to set them up just to take him down. Happens more often than you might think. Your big God will put you through the crucible. So let me pray for you. God will give you a spirit of diligence. So Father, I thank you for my sister. And it is certainly not a pipe dream to teach the Word of God. That's a command, not a pipe dream. So right away, we just shut the devil's mouth and say, you're a liar, you're a loser. We don't really care what you think. So stop lying to God's child. She's not listening to you. It's not a pipe dream. It's a command. Command the older women to teach the younger women. Make disciples. Equip the saints for the work of ministry. These are commands from the Bible. And so my prayer for you is that you would really begin to recognize the heart of the Good Shepherd in your life. Do not listen to the voice of the wolf howling in hopelessness, but listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd who just leads you forward. Is there one teenager in a Grange Hall in the boiler room somewhere that you could teach something to? And continue to be diligent. And for sure, if there's a pattern in your life, wherever there's a pattern, we say, do look for a curse. So if there's a pattern where you start to step in ministry and then it stops, starts in ministry and then it's like it's aborted, like you've had a lot of miscarriages. I do think that is a curse. I do. And I would be praying the prayer of protection over your teaching ministry. I would be praying the curse-breaking prayer over your ministry. In fact, God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we break every curse, every assignment against any person listening to the sound of my voice right now who has a call of God on their ministry, and they feel like every time they try to step out, something blocks them. The church changes their mind, or the church changes direction, or somebody gets mad at them, or somebody gets their feelings hurt. And we stand against that, and we draw a bloodline around the destiny of every person tuning in right now. And we proclaim that now is the appointed hour for your servants to rise up and begin to step into their destiny. In Jesus' name. Amen. Karen. Yep, you're green.
Hey, hi, Donna. How are you?
Good.
I think as far as for a prayer request goes, we just actually hired our new manager. I cover Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, and a little bit of Massachusetts. And during a two-day fast in the 90-day renewal, I was really just, there was constantly this divine discontent about my job.
Yeah, you don't even have to finish. He's shoving you out the door. He's shoving you out the door.
Who?
God.
Oh, I thought you were talking.
No. He's shoving you out the nest.
Wow.
He's straight. Okay, and I'm sure you've heard this, and I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm telling you, I already know. Because I remember praying over your vision board. I remember praying for you. He's making that nest more and more uncomfortable. That's what the mother, and I'm sure this isn't like, I've taught this for 20 years myself, so I'm sure somebody else has picked it up and run with it. But you know what a mother eagle does, right? She's got a nest on the edge of a cliff, of a mountain really high up, and she makes big, huge, it's a huge nest with big, thick, sharp branches. Then she makes it really comfortable. And then when it's time to throw them out of the nest, she just keeps making it more and more uncomfortable. And then they're like, okay, this is miserable. I'm terrified to jump, but my butt is bleeding at this point. I got to get out of here. And that's when they finally leap. When there's just nothing comfortable, when it just doesn't fit anymore, when it just doesn't work anymore. And some of us, you know, God is it's almost a holy discontentment.
Well, and that's what's so funny, Donna, is because during that two-day fast, I met a gentleman who's an emergency room physician, and he was basically saying, this is where sometimes I'm like, I really need to get in the presence of the Lord because I so respect and appreciate what you're saying. The gentleman that I met, he's just started a non-denominational Bible study at one of the hospitals I call on, and his email address is Contentment Farm. So I think he's shoving me out of the nest, but I'm just praying for the right timing, because in the meantime, it's almost like trying to be an undercover cop for Christ as I'm going through. I just signed up for the 2-year, being a cornerstone. So as God is, like you said, I just want to have a teachable spirit, so the Lord, whatever breakthroughs, whatever layers, whatever God and the Holy Spirit wants to do in my heart to make me completely whole, so I'm ready to completely be out of the nest without, because like you said before, I've tried to launch a couple times,
yep,
and it was two other people's visions,
yep,
to an online ministry as well as Celebration of Womanhood, so it was like, so I'm just trying to hear from the Lord and in the meantime, do the work that God wants to do in me, but not make that in itself an idol. But so the whole, what my prayer request was is that they just hired our brand new boss, and we just got the announcement yesterday. So it's a matter of being a God pleaser, not a man pleaser, and however long I continue to stay in this sales position until God launches me into whatever the call on my life is, it's like, Lord, just here I am, use me, but make sure I'm ready to go. Yeah, so there's this, I just want to do whatever I need to do to continue to stay in the Word, and whatever, chains need to be broken, healing needs to happen. I mean, my husband and I have been married for 10 years. We got married when I was 40, so there's just so many, and the depression that I went through was caused from a job. It was going up the ranks, and then I landed at the San Diego Convention and Visitors Bureau, and it was the fear of a job, of a people-pleasing, a man, that caused my depression, but it was the best thing that ever happened, because I believe that's going to be a part of where God wants to use me. That's where I've heard in some of your messages. Be specific. That actually will then be the vehicle that allows me to help the most number of people. That's my heart's desire. Because I so badly want to help other women know how important it is to be in the Word of God, to use the sword of the Spirit. So just knowing that we have a new manager coming, he'll start next week, and then in the meantime, just praying for God to just continue to do the work in my heart that He wants to do to heal me, so I'm ready to do the work He wants to do.
Okay. Well, let me pray for you. So, Father, I pray for Karen, and I pray for everyone, again, for wisdom and revelation, that when sometimes there's just a holy discontentment. Sometimes there's just a holy wrestle. And I know, Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in all things. And I don't know, just a restlessness maybe would be a better word. And then the Bible says you have to be at rest. But hopefully you know what I'm talking about. There's this thing that starts happening within us. And sometimes it's us, and sometimes it's God. Sometimes it's God. And he'll kind of stir that in us and allow circumstances to come to try to move us out from where we are. Because left to our own devices, we'll resist taking that leap of faith. Until where we are is just like, no, can't do it anymore. That God is calling us out of the ordinary into the extraordinary. That a lot of times it's not that we're doing something bad. Maybe we're doing a lot of good things and even great things. But are we doing the God thing that we were put on earth here to do? In my own sense is that you've had a lot of experience in the corporate world. And that's a real specific need of a lot of Christian women. What does that look like? How are we salt and light in the workplace? Maybe. Something to think about anyway. But Lord, I pray for wisdom and revelation, because I know that if this one person raises their hand, that others are in the same place. They're like, okay, I've got my ordinary life. And, I wake up and I do what I'm supposed to do. But there's something inside of me that knows I am here for more. I'm on this planet to do more and to be more. And I've got to break free from the ordinary so that I can do the extraordinary. And I do think a big part of it is just showing up every day and being faithful and being diligent to do what you can do and trusting God to do those things that you can't do. I hope that made sense to someone. I'm going to hop on over. And if anybody else wants to raise their hand, or I'll go down here too and also see. And then I'll go pray over your submissions. Odette says that she's starting a 40-day fast today for breakthrough in areas of health, order, and balance in her life and finding work. She's in transition. Pray that I will be steadfast. Yeah, I think that a lot of us are in transition. And maybe that's what I'm saying. What could be more, that part of the pregnancy where you're ready to bring something to birth, it was just horrible. It's miserable. It's terrible. Talk about uncomfortable. But it's not a bad thing. It's a necessary thing because you get to the point where I'm going to push this baby out or I'm going to die trying. I don't care if I've got to fast. I don't care if I've got to throw my TV out a 10-story window. I don't care what. I don't care if I've got to get up at 4 a.m. I don't care what I've got to do. I'm going to give birth to this thing. Because I can't stay in this place of transition. It's just too, it hurts too much. Just too uncomfortable. So, and that's where you're at, Odette. Like, you know, I can't now. I need to birth this new thing. The Bible says the old is gone, the new has come. You're like, really? Because I'm not seeing the manifestation yet. Where's the new baby? So I thank you for Odette, and I thank you for someone who's like, you know what? I'm doing this thing. I'm doing everything I know how to do. And God, I'm just going to believe that you're going to do what I can't do. I pray that you would meet her in this 40-day fast. I pray that it would be miraculous. Absolutely miraculous. Breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. Divine favor. Here's someone who's separated from her husband. I'll just use the first initial S. They've been separated for 3 years. She's struggling to go back. Pray for God to help me. Do you have children? I need to know that. Can you let me know if you have children? Okay, I'm not hearing. She may have left the call. Yep, three of them. Okay, so there's your answer. You may not like me after that. But, I mean, that's your answer. So, Father, I just pray for my sister. And I want to pray the absolute opposite of what I've prayed for everybody else for her. I pray that you would give her a contentment. Pray that you would flood her with peace and blessed assurance. That Jesus, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Jesus, would you be all in all to her? Would you flood her with peace? Would you restore this marriage? Would you turn the heart of this husband back to his wife? Would you turn the heart of this wife back to her husband? For the sake of these three children, would you do a mighty work? For the sake of your kingdom, would you do a mighty work of healing and restoration? Here's someone saying, yes, I can't stay in this place of transition any longer. Here's another. Yes, I relate to being in transition. Another, I'm so hungry to do the extraordinary for God. Continuing to seek prayer for details of my move and my next steps of ministry. Pray for deep areas of ancient healing with my mother. I've forgiven my mom. She's in heaven. Oh, she's in heaven for 24 years. So let me pray for this one. Lord, we do pray for Victoria for direction and for clarity. Lord, that there would be a breaking and a breaking forth. I wrote today that 2017 is a breakout year. That we would break out, spirit break out, and let your people break out into new areas. A breakout year. Those who have been laboring, those who have been building, those who have been working, that this would be their breakout. And really be a season of incredible shift. Let me go through these requests. Here's someone saying, I need rest. I feel drained. My head, my ears, my chest. I have a heavy cough. I'm praying breakthrough for illness. And the ministry on rest spoke to her. You know, and we do need to realize that, and this is something I always struggle with too. Sometimes the work that we need to do is prayer work. Sometimes the work we need to do is worship. And one of the things that really helps me, because I'm a figure it outer, I'm a striver, I'm a roll up my sleeves and figure out what needs to get done and do it, which is okay. But what really helps me sometimes is just exactly what you say you're already doing. Stop, worship, pray in the spirit, soak, sing, turn off the brain, turn off the striving in the natural and start contending in the supernatural. The reason you're feeling sick, and you already know this, Holy Spirit is already showing you, is that you're striving and fighting in the natural realm instead of contending in the spiritual realm. And the reason I know that is because, you know, I struggle with all the same stuff. I think we're all the same. You know, I always say that. Lord, would we spend more time fighting these battles on our knees? More time contending in the spirit. Here's another saying, I've been admitting my part in allowing garbage in my soul. And this was one of the women I was talking about you. God's really showing me things that seem, quote, innocent, endless hours of television. She says, I've really cheated myself of getting answers. It's time to lay it all out on the table and really address why I'm running to the television. And we run there, you know, just dealing with things. She says, she mentions food addiction, debt, and then she gets to the real punchline, the underlying bitterness and soul wounds. So God, we ask you to, even now, begin to bring out what are the roots that are yielding the fruits? Because we see the fruits in our activity, like watching too much TV, overeating. We know we have a destiny, and we'll wake up every day and we know what we need to do, whether it's writing a chapter in our book or spending an hour praying in the Holy Spirit or, you know, taking a walk around the block or calling our pastor or network it, whatever it is that we need to be doing to move forward. And we'll do everything under the sun, moon, and stars except that one thing that we know we really need to do to move forward. And it's just self-sabotage. It's just self-sabotage. And very often that's rooted. Sometimes that could be out of sexual abuse. Maybe you were successful in the past, and being successful is dangerous, especially as women. If you are a successful woman, being honest, sometimes it puts a target on you, even in the church. Or was that just me? Even in the church. You're stepping out and teaching or singing or doing dramas or whatever, and you're beginning to be effective and beginning to see God blessing. And here comes incoming enemy fire. And it hurts. And there's a part of you that learns, well, wait a minute, I better not shine too brightly. I better not step out too far in front, because that can be dangerous to my emotional well-being. That can be a hazard to my relationships. Better not let myself be too attractive, too effective, too successful, because then I'll become a target. So let me just self-sabotage. Let me play small ball. Let me stay in the background. Let me shoot myself in the foot. Let me do everything that I can do to not put myself back up there in a place where I open myself up to ridicule and rejection. This is the game so many of us as women play. And we just need Holy Spirit to reveal and heal that place inside of us that doesn't think it's safe to shine. Holy Spirit, I can't do this. I just can't sit here and think up examples. Would you turn on the lights? Would you even right now speak to your children and show them? What was that moment when something inside of them decided that shining was scary, that shining was dangerous, so they better just take that light and hide it under a bushel? Hide it under, you know, an extra 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. Hide it under some failure. Hide it under some problems. You know, and this is for someone, and you're here. You're here because I talked to you a little while ago. I already talked to you, and I'm telling you right now, this is for you. I'm going to tell you what you're doing. I see it. You are sabotaging your own happiness. You have a real opportunity for a happy family. And you are sabotaging it. And in your case, it's not a holy discontentment. It's the enemy who doesn't want you to enjoy the blessings that are right. I mean, they're right there for you. And you are sabotaging your own happiness. And we do this. And some of it can be a curse. Some of it's just the devil's mean. Some of it's people scary. Some of it's our own craziness. It just sometimes it's just a package. And I always tell you guys, the two weapons I love the most, truly, that curse-breaking prayer that really deal with, for the most part, curses that other people have put on us. Sometimes we put word curses on ourselves, but that's almost more word curses that others put on us. And then the special blessings prayer. Those two, just powerful weapons of warfare. And I always prayed that prayer of protection around my ministry, my calling, my family, my finances, my possessions. And again, they're not formulas, but they're good guidelines that you can use in your own life. I hope I'm helping somebody. Let me know. You are too smart, too beautiful, and have too much to offer to waste your life doing stuff like this. Someone saying, my calling is a gift. I feel like the servant with one talent. Not being truly productive in my calling of writing and teaching. Procrastination. Passivity. Not living up to my real potential. A lot of times, that's a curse. That can be a curse. You feel like, you know, you're right there. And even other people may even look at you and say, you're successful. Your life is working. Looking good. Like, you're making your deadlines, your kids, family. You're good. You're fine. What do you mean? But you know. You know. Whatever other people may say, you know you were born for more. You're not doing near what God put you on planet Earth to do. And you know it. You're a threat. You're just a threat to the enemy. And so what he'll want to do is just come up with a pack of lies about how you're not worthy of this and you're not worthy of that. And you never can and you never will. And, you know, why bother? It's just his usual package of nonsense that for some mysterious reason we just let him peddle. We just keep buying it. I don't know why, but I mean, we do. So we need to make a decision that we're really willing to take a risk. And that's what Jesus commended. He's like, you know the guy I like? I like the guy who took a risk. The guy who wanted to play small and hide his talent in a napkin, not feeling it. No. Mm-mm. Play big. Swing for the fence. Go out there and give it a try. Do your best and let God do the rest. But do your best. Do your best. I've talked about this in the renewal class, and I play this game too. You wait till the exam, you know, you've got this big exam coming up. You wait till the last minute. Why? Why? Why do you wait till the last minute? Why do you wait till the night before to do your paper? Why do you procrastinate? Never kid a kidder. We know why we do it, because then we have a fallback position. Then we can say, well, of course, I mean, I wrote the paper the night before. I mean, you know, I could have done great, but it's not my best work. So if you reject it, that's okay, because it's not my best work anyway. We don't want to put our best selves out there, because if we put our best selves out there and that's rejected, then you've got no fallback and the sky falls. Unless, of course, you're secure in God and you're like, look, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to show up every day and be obedient to what I believe God has led me to do. And God's responsible for the outcome. I'm passionately involved in the process and emotionally detached from the outcome. Dude, we get it backwards. We're very invested in the outcome and avoiding the process. Another saying, you know, just realizing, you know what it is all about? It's about comforting others. And I think it's prayer of you. Comforting others out of the comfort we ourselves have received from God. That is the name of the game. And God, okay, so this is my life experience. These are my credentials. These are my skills. This is where I've been and what I've been through. And now I'm going to give it to you. What can you do with it? And I want to pray for this one who's really, really had a lot of hurt. And I was looking at this and praying over it earlier. And the story is that her father, who was a minister, became involved in pornography and actually involved her in it. And now it's been a stronghold in her life. So that's something we really need to pray. You would need a really intense time of one-on-one. And I assume you've gone for one-on-one deliverance. But that's really intense stuff right there. And I think, yes, this is a great program. And there's a lot of anointed teaching and time of healing and deliverance. And I'm going to pray for you right now. But it's very likely that you would benefit from a one-on-one time with someone anointed specifically in the area of deliverance. Because these pornography spirits, and there are spirits that drive all that, they're nasty. That's some nasty stuff right there. And she says she's doing all the things I just talked about. She's sabotaging her own success. She's a beautiful woman. And she's really being tormented with thoughts. And so then she tries to keep busy. But not in her calling, because she doesn't feel worthy. So here's the thing. You know, your dad had a high call on his life, and the enemy wanted to take him out, and it worked. You have a high calling on your life. I see that in you. lot of potential for the kingdom. A real ministry calling on your life. And the enemy's not original. It worked for your dad. He's going to use the same thing if he can take you out with it. And again, those are generational curses. You need to be praying that curse-breaking prayer big time. My family, he's taken generation after generation after generation of addiction. So any type of addiction, if for you, it's the pornography. It's a pattern. Other pattern in my family, incest. We're seeing it repeat it down to the next two more generations beyond me. It's already passed, that I know for a fact. The incest has continued. Not in my line, but in my, my siblings. So that needs to be broken, and I would be really aggressive in working through that whole process that I share in the curse breaking. But I want to pray for you. Lord, I come in the name of Jesus on behalf of my beautiful sister and the hurts and the pain that she's been carrying. And all that she's been exposed to. In the places of inside of her soul that say, I cannot unsee what I've seen. I cannot unsee what I've seen. Cannot unsee what I've seen. But you know, the Bible talks very specifically about it, a healing salve that was used for eyes. I think it's in Revelation. I have to look that up. There's a special healing ointment that comes from a specific area in Turkey, actually. Yep. And they put it on their eyes and heal their eyes. God, I want to pray for my sister's eyes. The eyes of her heart and the eyes of her mind. That you would begin to just supernaturally wipe away the memory of some of the things that she's seen. We command the enemy who plays these mental videos in her mind, we command him to leave in Jesus' name. I don't share this often, but, God delivered, my sins were alcohol, whiskey especially, but any kind of alcohol, drugs. I was a cocaine addict, but I was also a sex addict. And God delivered me instantly from drugs and alcohol, and the sexual thing moved into mental adultery. And I actually didn't look at pornography, although, like you, as a child, that pornography was used to abuse me with incest. They're like, okay, so this is what you have to do. Pornography is so dangerous. But mental. And it was really, really, I had to work a 12-step program for. I didn't have to do a 12-step program for drugs and addiction. God gave me instant deliverance. But for the mental sexual fantasies, I had to do a 12-step program. And I want you to be encouraged, because you know what? I'm delivered from that in Jesus' name, and I seal it in the blood of Jesus. Enemy, you will not use that statement as an opening. I am healed in Jesus' name. And it's been at least, hang on, it's been like 16 years. You can be free of it. I know. It was the hardest thing. It was way, I took drugs, alcohol, that was instant. No problem. Bye-bye. That one, wow. I had to fight for that one. Healing, deliverance, 12-step. It was a war. And yours is made more, even more challenging because your dad was a pastor. My worst abuser was my grandfather, and he was just a demon, He was not someone posing in ministry. And your dad was sincere, really. Devil took him out. I pray for your healing, your deliverance, and I pray that God would bring into your lives those who love you and want to walk you through this journey. I think we just have one more. Okay, here, same thing. Struggling with insecurity and self-hatred, years of physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. With the idea that I deserve to be treated like that. And she said that it's made her kind of self-focused, and she really resonated. A number of you did with the teaching on pride and the way it shows up, especially in insecurity and just being obsessed with yourself. It's self-protection, but it's still pride. And she's praying to really press into the fasting zone and pressing in for forgiveness. So, Lord, I do pray, and I think I already prayed for you, but I pray for this sister, Lord, that you would show her that she is dearly loved and that it's time to be free. Proclaim to her that her season of bondage is over. That season is now over. And that she would step into a new season of rejoicing. In Jesus' name. Let me come back over here and see if anybody has questions, comments. Okay, we do have some. Oh, somebody has raised their hand, and we do have some comments. So let me just hop over here real quick, see if someone new has raised their hand. If that's just a hand I didn't put down. Okay. Does this help anybody? We'd love some feedback. Rebecca's praying for a breakthrough with an invention that they have. I would fast and pray for a breakthrough in that area and also do some giving. So, Lord, I pray for this couple that they feel like you have put into their minds an idea, an invention. And Lord, would you bring around them those people who can help bring this to fruition and in a miraculous way? And the best thing when you're waiting for your breakthrough is to bless someone else. Valerie says she has a ministry in Pakistan with orphanages, schools, signs and wonders, amazing things happening, stepping into the prophetic. Amazing what God is doing in Pakistan. Yeah, I'd love to hear more about that. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, surprise, surprise, the enemy is attacking her physically, struggling with anemia and internal bleeding. Of course, because you're invading his territory. So you need an army of prayer warriors around you, like for real. You're stepping into, real territorial stuff in the Middle East. That's for real territorial stuff. Right? So you need to have for real prayer warriors. And I blew it. I did this myself. And I talked about this. I didn't want to reiterate it. I covered this in the vessel class. I don't want to recover it too much here. But I had been on ministry in an area of the world that has a background of cannibalism, animism, all kinds of crazy stuff. And my first trip there was like heaven on earth. It was just so blessed, so God, so amazing. Just favor, 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 favor. And I had so many people praying for me before I went there. God had given some warning dreams, so there was real holy reverential fear, and I had a ton of prayer. The second time, what was I? Overconfident. So guess what? I didn't raise up a lot of prayer support, and a witch doctor got me, and I almost died. I haven't talked about this at WEU, but I'm believing I'm on the other side. I've almost died twice this past year. One time I got to the emergency room, and the doctor said, a couple more hours. I had sepsis, a blood infection. So you would have been dead. It was a witch doctor. And I didn't see it. because the enemy lulled me into complacency. The first time, so amazing, so wonderful, so God. Prayer, I don't need prayer, I got this thing. Mm-hmm. You need to really, for real, get some serious prayer warriors, because the devil would like to kill you. You're going to Pakistan, he wants to kill you. D-E-A-D, dead, kill you. So you need to really get some warriors. This is a spiritual attack against you. Really dark forces there. Okay, good. I'm glad I got some good feedback here. Someone says, yes, 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 I needed all of this today. Stephanie, I know this is not what you want to hear. But I'm telling you what I feel. And again, there's wisdom in the counsel of many. And I'm not God. I'm not him. I'm just one woman, just one voice. And I don't know you, you know, personally. But I stand by what I prayed over you. Where's the sort who, you know, your safety comes from the Lord. Yeah, Okay, I knew that was for somebody. Yep. I actually thought it was for you, to be honest. Someone's saying, yeah, I can't step out too much or be too good. Got to quick shoot myself in the foot. Mm-hmm. Jesus, please make it safe to shine. Yep. Someone says, wow, this is me, the self-sabotage, and I hide. Someone saying great words. Holy Spirit bullseye. Hit me on the head with a prayer hiding behind 65 pounds. Revelation. It was to the Ephesians. Thank you, Odette. There it is. Good job. There it is. Good job. Kristen, you're so good. Odette, you're good. It's Revelations 3:18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you may become rich, white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes. And specifically, that salve was from Turkey. Good job. I'm resonating with the teaching on pride. Years of abuse created keeping myself looking ugly, unattractive, and crippled, which is really just pride. Protecting yourself, taking care of yourself. That's God's job. It's God's job to keep you safe. It's God's job to keep you safe. Again, it's God's job to keep you safe. And you're like, really? Because he didn't do a very good job of it, did he? You think I didn't get it? You think I don't get it? I was sexually abused at no later than 2, probably younger. I remember at 2. So God didn't do a very good job of keeping me safe. So you can stand back, Mr. G-O-D, and let me take it. I'll keep me safe. Believe me, I get it. But you know, trying to stay safe didn't keep me safe at all, did it? It was a lie. It was a lie from the pit of hell. Walked into one destructive, abusive nightmare of a relationship after another. It's God's job to keep you safe. But you've got to listen and follow and let it go. An aborted pattern is a curse. Someone's really identifying with that, patterns of abortion. Someone says, you hit the spot for my prayer request. No fallback position. Swing for the fence. The curse-breaking prayer. Thank you, Donna. Another thank you. We've been fasting and had 2 new possible companies to present it to the last day of our fast. Keep going. Okay, great. I'm so glad. Thank you for being open. I know that I served it up a little hard for some of you, and many of you are saying you're praying for Valerie and her mission in Pakistan, for sure. Pakistan means land of the clean. Odette is just like, she knows it. She's just so smart. Kristen says, God was definitely speaking and his presence is here. I feel for you. I totally get it. Guys, I'm just so with you. There's a strong spirit of self-righteousness in Pakistan, I could imagine. Okay, it looks like someone maybe did just raise their hand. Give me 1 second, and then we'll wrap. We've run a little bit long today, but that's okay, right? It's not too bad. Most of my classes, I end up running an hour and a half lately. I got to work on that. Donna. Odette, are you there? Your microphone is gray, waiting for it to come green. You have a little microphone on your screen somewhere. It needs to be green. There it is. Bam. It was green. It was good. Now it's gray. If your microphone is green, then we'll be able to hear from you. And you have so much to say. You're so smart. No? Seems like maybe we lost you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Odette, you're green.
Okay. Donna, I just want to say, if you can hear me, I want to say I resonate with every story, every prayer request. And I'm going to be adding all of these to my prayers for the next 40 days. I do believe that this is the time that we have to stand together in prayer. And it's beyond what we see and feel in our everyday life. And I do praise God for you, Donna, that you've been a really good centering force in my life for the last three classes that I did with you. And I also resonate with the one woman who said, I didn't do much this time around. I kind of did hit and miss, but whatever I caught was really good. And I'm resolving to go back and repeat and really cocoon with God, cocoon with the Word, cocoon with your wisdom. Which comes from God, and really come out strong. And then when we look at a butterfly, when it's in the chrysalis, you know, cocooning, that stuff is so hard. And they've done studies where when they do that, some people call it chrysalis, some people call it cocoon, but they use that for, before they had armor, you know, in the army, they use that for like bulletproofness because it's so hard. And then they went and they fiddled with the caterpillar while in the chrysalis, and they made it less strong, and they poked holes in it so that when the butterfly is coming out, the butterfly won't struggle, right? Because they felt so bad for the butterfly struggling as it's coming out. But then they found out that those butterflies could not fly because their wings were not strong. So that struggle to break free and come out of that chrysalis allows the butterfly to have strong enough wings to fly. That's just how nature intends it. And I don't know if that helps anybody, but our struggles make us even stronger.
Well, you are so beautiful. You are so beautiful. You are so smart. You have a beautiful voice. You have a beautiful spirit. You're just such a special lady. And I want
I listen to your
affirmations
every morning still.
Hey, thank you. We're working on a new one. I'm going to partner with Fadi Gurgis from Egypt and do something. Yeah.
They don't do the prayers and affirmations. Just to listen to it while you're getting ready, you know, it's yep. So good in the morning just to wash yourself with good words from the Word and good words that, you know, you repeat to yourself. So I have Donna in my ears.
I love it. Thank you. Well, I'm going to pray. I'm going to mute you and then pray blessing over you. And then we'll go ahead and wrap. So Father, I thank you for Odette. And I thank you for just the beauty of her spirit, the beauty of her heart, the beauty of her passion for you, the good mind that you've given her, and the clarity. Thank you that you're bringing her such wisdom and balance of knowing, you know what, just my daily bread. Just what do I need today, God? I don't need to gouge myself on the midnight buffet. Just some daily bread, God. Just give me some food for today, some nourishment for today. My daily bread, my new slogan, my daily bread and my daily bath. Just give me some spiritual food to eat and cleanse me of anything that's just come into my spirit, my mind, my heart, and my daily food, my daily bath, that's all I need. We love you, ladies, and we appreciate you so much. And we love having you at WEU. And we're planning a lot of great things. I've been talking with my spiritual father, and he's going to help me do an event. We're going to do something in Arizona. We're going to try to do something in Philadelphia. We're going to Turkey. I think we're going to Fiji. We're definitely coming to Colombia. So there's going to be a lot of live get-togethers. And I know we haven't been doing that the last few years. There's a lot of reasons behind that, but we are working on that, and we know that you ladies want to get together and meet each other, and it's going to be a lot of fun. The one in Philadelphia is actually going to be the retreat center where I became a Christian 36 years ago. So that'll be fun. And the one in Arizona, you'll get to meet my spiritual father. So it's going to be really, really fun and meaningful. And we've got lots of great things planned. So stay part of WEU. And just like Odette said, take her advice. Don't tell yourself, well, I didn't listen to every audio, so it's okay. Just come to a couple calls and we love you. It's okay. Just take some bread and be happy. We'll see you on the Facebook group. You've got one more live session with Deanna, so that'll be awesome.